Do you feel like you maintain balance in your life? No? Well, how about in your consumer groups? Kafka committer Sophie Blee Goldman wants you to, which is why she's here today to talk about her work in KIP 429, that's cooperative rebalancing, and KIP 441, the so-called smooth scaling KIP, both of which help Kafka Streams applications scale a little bit easier. It's all on today's episode of Streaming Audio, a podcast about Kafka, Confluent, and the cloud. Hello and welcome to another episode of Streaming Audio. I am, as always, your host, Tim Berglund, and I'm joined here in the virtual studio today by my coworker and Kafka committer and Kafka Streams person, Sophie Blee Goldman. Sophie, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Well, hey, we're going to talk about, I think, what I would call some special topics in Kafka Streams or some, I don't know, they probably don't seem advanced to you, but they're moderately advanced Kafka Streams topics today. There's a lot of details I'm excited to dig into. But first, as always, I would love it if you could tell us a little bit about yourself. I already said you're an engineer, you're a committer, you work on the Kafka Streams, the part of Kafka known as Kafka Streams. But how did you get there?
It's a good question. I probably came here a slightly different route than others. I actually came to Confluent and did my first job out of school. I actually studied physics instead of computer science. You know, I spent some time learning, you know, taking some CS courses and just like learning on my own on the side. But at first I wanted to go into physics and, you know, I liked being in the lab, but I realized that what I was always really excited to do was the part where you were programming, which of course is a big part of any, you know, physics right. lab in the modern world. It's like half coding at best. Exactly. So I kind of realized, you know, I'd been a Google intern a while back in like the infrastructure team, and you know, I really enjoyed that. So I thought, well, why not try to dig into the coolest infrastructure that's currently in the hot seat, which is Kafka. So that's how I ended up at Confluent.
Could not agree more. I like that path. I've known, you know, and I think of the extraordinary developers I've known. There's a lot of musicians and a lot of physicists. That's just weird. Those two patterns happen to
something about that drives you to go to computer science, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the musicians, they find out, oh, wait, I can't make a living doing this, which, of course, is not always the case, but is the case for some. But no, it's something that'd be a neat bit of psychology research to figure out why that is. Of course, for that research to work, someone would have to have an account of what it is that makes you good at programming. And I'm not really sure that that's really knowledge that we have yet. So, yeah, it is. Anyway, a couple of things, if we have time for them, that I want to talk about today. One is rebalancing in Kafka Streams. I want to talk about kind of the bad old days and historically how that has worked and what has been unfortunate about that. And then cooperative rebalancing, which I think is KIP 429-ish. Yep. 429 plus or minus 3. sorry, that'd be engineering, not physics. If possible, scaling out and dealing with the state store and moving state around when we, I guess scaling out is really the problem there. So let's see what we can do. Streaming audio is about me learning things. Ideally, it's also about our listeners learning things. I hope everybody else is learning, but these are two things that I personally would like to dig into a little bit more for my own benefit. So I'm excited. All right, rebalancing. Now, could you maybe lay some groundwork if there's anybody who doesn't immediately understand the problem, maybe talk about just how consumer groups work, even before there's Kafka Streams, like what's rebalancing and why is it a problem and all that?
Yeah, sure. I was kind of thinking back to when I was first new at Kafka. It was one of the things that I think was kind of trickiest to understand, the rebalancing. But to take a step back, like you said, a consumer group is, you know, it's what it sounds like. You have a group of consumers and they each are assigned some, you know, set of partitions from a set of subscribed topics. So instead of, you know, bringing up a consumer and manually assigning it, you know, you read topic A, you read topic B, you just bring up a group of consumers, whatever resources you have, and Kafka figures out how to assign partitions to these consumers such that it, you know, evenly distributes the workload. Each consumer is responsible for, you know, one or more partitions, but each partition is only read by exactly one consumer. So each consumer is kind of standalone and has its own, you know, isolated view of this partition. So that's the...
Right. So if you have a topic with 10 partitions and you have two consumers, then they're probably each going to have five. They'll be consuming five of those partitions.
Exactly. Technically, this is pluggable for more advanced users, but for the most part, you really just want to like kind of, you know, distribute them in a round robin or, you know, sticky fashion, which we can get into more later.
Yes. If you know how the pluggability works, you don't need this episode.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah. So the rebalancing is kind of, as the name suggests, I guess, it does this work of distributing resources or partitions in this case to the consumers. Obviously, you know, you want to make sure that each consumer has like enough work to do or some work to do if there are partitions available to consume. And you want to make sure that it's, you know, evenly balanced, hence the rebalance. So yeah. A rebalance is actually
as fair as possible.
Yeah. As fair as possible. It can't always be totally fair. It's, you know, it's life. But a rebalance is just an event that occurs when you have a change in topic metadata, like a new topic is created, or group membership. And group membership, just meaning, you know, you have a new consumer that joined, one of your consumers, you know, the broker noticed that it died or it's no longer responding, whatever, you know, might happen. Kafka just wants to make sure that all the partitions are actively being consumed.
That no longer responding, there's a heartbeat that consumers are responsible for answering, right?
Yes. So in the background of the consumer, it has a heartbeat thread, which, you know, every 3 seconds by default is just, you know, flashing, hey, I'm still alive, I'm still still here, I'm still working, don't kick me out of the group.
Right.
So if, you know, if a member does stop responding, we would trigger a rebalance, which just means, okay, whatever partitions were previously assigned to this member who seems to now be dead, we need to give them to someone else, or else they're just going to be neglected. No one's going to be working on them. You know, it's going to become unbalanced.
They'll be sad.
So right. Hence the rebalance, aptly named. Now, unfortunately, kind of back in the day, in the bad old days, a rebalance actually meant, you know, all the current group members need to rejoin the group, as we say, where they basically just, you know, they send what's called a subscription to the brokers and say, here's the topics that I'm interested in. Here's the group that I'm a part of. And the broker kind of does a little checklist of who are all the members that are currently in this group that we need to distribute partitions to. So that's kind of how the rebalance begins. You know, we start, everyone sends their subscription. Now at this point in the bad old days, sending a subscription actually had to be preceded by each consumer completely stopping work on all of its partitions and revoking ownership of those partitions. So a rebalance ultimately meant, you know, every single consumer has to stop work on all partitions across the entire rebalance. And then only at the end, they'll get their partitions back or their new assignment. So kind of a downtime for the entire duration of the rebalance. It's especially a bummer because, you know, half the time, I don't know what the actual percentage is, but, you know, a lot of the time they're just going to get those same partitions back. Like maybe, you know, you're in a cloud environment and Kubernetes bounced a pod, like nothing really changed, but you still had a rebalance, but you had to stop all work for pretty much no reason.
What, how long in practice is that actually? And what does that depend on?
It's a good question. I think, anecdotally, it can be probably on the order of like, you know, 10 seconds or so. I think it kind of depends on, I mean, what really needs to happen is for all group members to join. So it can be a very long time because the way that a group member or that a consumer is notified of a rebalance event is through its poll. You know, it literally calls the poll method. And in that poll method, it will join the group. But of course, there's this other config called the max poll interval, which just, you know, determines how long can this consumer go without calling poll. And I think this is 5 minutes by default. So in theory, you might have like a 5 minute response while you're waiting for somebody to join the group.
Gotcha. That's that in the bad old days, the pre-KIP 429 days, that would be, exactly. I suppose, unfortunate. Maybe it just depends on what your SLAs are. I mean, maybe 5 minutes is fine, sure. But probably bad.
In the scheme of physics, and the universe, 5 minutes is not that long, but in computer science and
it's not that long.
Distributed systems.
In getting things done in most business applications, that might be too long these days. It's not a 4 to 6 weeks, allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery sort of world anymore. But I'm, you know, this is not completely off topic, but a little bit off topic. It's just a story about me, but I'm remembering a talk I did almost a year ago. So this is late February when Sophie and I are recording this. And this would have been like in the last few days of February or first couple of days of March. I don't remember exactly which. Last year. So this is the very beginning of the pandemic when everybody was starting to say, oh, wait, do we have to shut down life? And so there was actually a conference that I attended in London that was in person. And this is going somewhere. Don't worry. It was weird because there were these like bouncers at the front with hand sanitizer. Like, hey, you know, nice hands you got there. Be shame if anything happened to them. Sanitize them. Like muscle there, you know, make sure you sanitize your hands. Because nobody knew anything. But point is, at that conference, I did this talk that I didn't have a chance to do any other times the whole year because it was really an in-person thing where I got people on stage and we actually acted out the consumer group rebalance protocol. So there was a person with a little sign that said, poll, as a consumer, and like walk over and exchange it. Okay, now you get this partition. It was kind of fun. At least I thought it was fun. Someday we'll do it again and maybe you can help me. Anyway. And the upper bound on how long the rebalance takes is that poll interval, which in pathological cases can be configured for a long time, but it's probably seconds in any time because you don't want that. Probably seconds in the normal case because you don't want that poll happening all the time. Okay, so that's a significant amount of pause. Like if you have a major GC that lasts that long, I feel like you're not on your A game.
Yeah, throwing out Java at that point.
Yeah, right. Which you don't get to do in this case.
Yeah.
So that's the bad times.
Yes. So, you know, kind of the, this is how things were when I first joined, started working on Kafka. And I remember thinking, you know, that seems ridiculous. Why not just allow consumers to hold on to their partitions? Especially if they're going to just get back the same partitions, you know, after the rebalance. And I kind of assumed that that was the way that worked and was a little bit shocked to find out that it's not the way that worked. And of course, the reason is not that, you know, the original creators of Kafka were fools, but because
they were just dumb. You know, they didn't know. It could have been better. Yeah.
They were busy. You know, there's a lot of things.
Turns out not. That's right. Benefit of the doubt. They were going through a lot then and, you know, it was a tough time. But it's also a distributed state problem. So
exactly.
How did that go?
Things are hard. And the problem really here, the reason that we did this, what we call the eager rebalancing protocol, because we eagerly give up all our partitions, is because we need to satisfy this like safety condition where we don't want two consumers to, you know, claim ownership of a single partition potentially at the same time. So if you imagine, you know, we had a rebalance, nobody revoked anything. Partition A is being moved from consumer one to consumer two. That's fine, but it's distributed systems. You can't rely on the ordering of events. So it's possible that consumer two would, you know, get its new assignment, start working on partition A, but over back on consumer one, it still hasn't, you know, been notified or it hasn't gotten around to revoking this partition. So unfortunately, at that point, you know, it might end up revoking the partition, which typically involves committing offsets, and it might overwrite the offsets of the new owner of this partition. So that's really kind of the crux of the problem here, is we need to like enforce a barrier. We need to synchronize and make sure that all partitions are, you know, no longer owned by anyone before we actively assign them to a new owner.
Right. Because I guess the case there is that you can have one partition assigned to two owners, as you explained. And you're still going to have a way of reconciling that to just one owner, but you've kind of got a split brain partition ownership state there, which means offsets are not going to be consistent across the resolution of that split brain thing.
Right. Yeah.
If I'm just making sure I'm tracking. So I think I'm tracking.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. The problem is, you know, each consumer then get kind of a partial group or a partial view of the topic, and they might potentially override each other's offsets, yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
So
bad.
Exactly. So that was the problem, you know, that was why we adopted this eager rebalancing protocol. It's just kind of the easiest thing to do. And, you know, for a first pass, like it works. It's not ideal, but there's a million other things to work on. So eventually the time came to kind of reconsider this. I think, you know, probably plenty of users are complaining because suddenly their apps are experiencing, you know, complete downtime for seconds or, you know, potentially even minutes, as we discussed. You might be, you know, hitting many, many rebalances, which especially in like a cloud environment where, you know, pods are coming and going and, you know, you don't really have a perfectly stable right. environment, you might be getting rebalances like all the time. And there might be no op rebalances where nothing actually gets reassigned to any new owner. So there was no reason to stop working.
Yeah, but you paused, you stopped the world so that you could have a no op rebalance because Kubernetes had a bad morning or something.
Yeah, exactly. Which doesn't seem quite fair, you know?
It doesn't. Like, why should I have to stop my work because you had to move pods around?
Exactly. It's kind of the cloud native way, you know, things are happening. They're in the background. Your app should not react to it. Your app should be stable.
And yeah. And you know, your stateless microservice is fine with that. And I mean, I think we all know this, but that whole method of application delivery, you know, sort of just container orchestration begins with the assumption that you have stateless or not particularly stateful microservices, just a little bit of state to move around, small programs, but this is stateful infrastructure. And exactly. Not the case.
So you know, there's some work on our end to kind of make Kafka more resilient and available in the face of such events. So I think, you know, the question there obviously is like, why not just allow all consumers to keep holding onto their partitions, to keep working during the rebalance? The answer then, you know, is that we need to enforce this synchronization barrier where everyone has given up the partition. But if we're going to have a rebalance where everybody gets reassigned, you know, pretty much the same set of partitions that it had before, then maybe instead of revoking everything, we can just allow the consumers to hold on to their partitions throughout the rebalance. And then, crazy idea, only revoke the partitions that actually need to move to a different consumer or be reassigned. But of course, then we don't have the synchronization barrier. So, you know, the question there is, how can we still enforce this? How can we make sure that it's safe to reassign these partitions? The point of this KIP 429, as it was really to, you know, make rebalances cheap. And if a rebalance is cheap, why not just have another one? You know, it's two rebalances for the price of one. Originally, that would have been the worst deal in the history. But you know, if rebalances aren't that bad,
double the pain.
Yeah, we might as well, you know, if we can make them, you know, low cost. So
why the second rebalance?
Yeah. So the first rebalance then takes care of the safety net of revoking partitions from consumers that, you know, whose partitions are being assigned to someone else. So, you know, you have partition one was originally assigned to consumer A. Now we want to reassign this partition to consumer B, who just came up. So this first rebalance, we would revoke the partition. You know, at the end of the rebalance, the first consumer revokes this partition, but we don't yet reassign it because we don't yet know, we haven't guaranteed that it's been revoked at this point. So this is the end of the first rebalance. And now we do have this synchronization barrier. But we don't have this topic partition assigned to anyone. So we just trigger a second follow-up rebalance at this point. By now we know, you know, we have this promise that this partition has been revoked. And so now we can assign it to a new consumer or move it wherever we want. And it should be completely safe.
And that's faster. So you spend less time inside the synchronization barrier because you've got an unassigned partition and you just need to give it to somebody.
Yeah. So the rebalance on the whole should be pretty cheap. You know, more importantly, all the consumers can continue processing during the rebalance. So you're not sitting around waiting for some other member to join the group who's stuck, you know, wherever, stuck in some files.
Sure. So if you make it through the first pass and your partition wasn't revoked, then you're fine. You should keep going.
Exactly.
You only stop if it gets revoked, and you stop because, well, your partition got revoked. So that in itself is not new consumer functionality. Consumers already know, when I don't have a partition, you know, don't consume those messages.
Exactly.
Now, how do you predict, and if you're about to explain this or something else, and I'm jumping ahead of you, just keep going, tell me to stop. But at the end of that pass, how do you predict which partitions you need to revoke? That seems magical to me at this point. I'm sure it's not, but how do you know that?
It is, or at least, you know, it is to the broker, actually. So each consumer has what's called a group leader. It's you know, nothing really special. It's just like one member.
The consumer group has a group leader, right?
Yes, sorry. The consumer group leader, which is a consumer, not a broker. Mm-hmm. Right. And basically, this is just, you know, one of the consumers gets picked. They, you know, the broker points to you and says, hey, you're special. And your job as a group leader is to figure out the assignment of partitions. So in the middle of this rebalance, you know, after everyone has sent their subscription in, the subscription, which includes the topics that are being subscribed to, all this information is, you know, collated by the broker, and they send all the subscription info from all the consumers back to the group leader. The group leader then uses this subscription info to figure out how to assign, you know, partitions to new owners, how to distribute it evenly, you know, try to give back partitions to their former owner, make sure that everyone has a balanced load. So that's what the group leader is busy doing this during the rebalance. Everyone else is just doing whatever. And then the group leader sends this, what we call assignment, sends the assignment back to the broker, and the broker then kind of does the reverse, and it distributes the assignment to all the individual members. So then each member basically just, you know, contrasts, you know, here is my current set of partitions, here's my new set of partitions, whatever overlap there is, I get to keep. Anything else, you know, if I don't own it anymore, well, it's revoked. I gotta, you know, clean up the state or...
Yeah, I don't own it, it's revoked. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a, you know...
Commit offsets is the thing that you do then.
Yeah, I think in general, okay. You know...
And so this is just a consumer thing. I mean, we started kind of with a Kafka Streams framing. Is there any special Kafka Streams behavior around this? So this is, Kafka Streams would inherit this, of course, mm-hmm. but does it get streamy at any point?
Kind of, yeah. Technically there's like a slightly different implementation.
Streams doesn't use the default group assignment
Bingo.
Logic, right?
Yep, gotcha. That's exactly it. there's this thing called a partition assigner, which, you know, has, again, as the name indicates, assigns, like figures out the assignment of partitions. And this is the, you know, this
naming things isn't always hard.
You're right. This assign method, you know, obviously is responsible for doing this assignment. That's what the group leader is doing. So this is something that Kafka Streams has its own special version of this assigner. So when we implemented a cooperative rebalancing, We had one version for the plain consumer client and another version for Kafka Streams. So the plain consumer client, you know, if you're sitting at home thinking, hey, I want to turn on cooperative rebalancing, but I just have a plain consumer app, you just need to use this, I think it's called the cooperative sticky assigner. Basically, you just plug in this specific kind of assigner, sticky because it returns partitions to their previous owner to the best extent it can. You know, while maintaining a balance, and you plug that in, and then cooperative rebalancing is enabled. through Kafka Streams, you know, you don't have to do anything to plug in the assigner. We plug it in for you. And we just went into Kafka Streams and, you know, tinkered with the bits in the assigner to make sure that it, you know, stays sticky and it knows not to assign a partition until it's been revoked. That's kind of the fundamental change there in the assigner, is that it just has to, like, you know, it computes its assignment, its intended assignment, and then it looks and, you know, if partition A, I want to, you know, assign, or partition one, you know, I want to assign it to a new consumer. Well, I need to first revoke it from its previous owner, so then I can't assign it actually during this first rebalance. I have to wait for a second one.
Right. Right. Okay. So you basically had to do half of that work twice from the default assigner to the Kafka Streams implementation. So hey, on something entirely Streams specific, scaling out the so-called smooth scaling kip, or 441, let me tee it up and then you can tell me again about the bad old days and about how life is much better now.
Perfect.
We were just talking about consumers, which of course Kafka Streams applications are a type of, and partition assignment. We were not talking about state. And anytime I'm explaining Kafka to a brand new person and I explain consumer groups and scaling and everything, it's like this wonderful world and it's great. I'm like, oh, well, that's only really true if you're stateless. Sorry. Nice. If you have any state, it's on you. I remember I was giving a talk like that once to a group and somebody said, well, can't you just use an in-memory shared grid for that? I'm like, well, yes, if you have one, you know, that's great, but you shouldn't have to have one. So anyway, Kafka Streams has the internal state store, which is currently and by default a RocksDB instance. And so it's keeping state in a durable way on disk locally and flushing it back to Kafka topics. And as nodes of or instances of a Kafka Streams application fail, or as you add them and you get these group membership events that would cause partition reassignment to happen, you also have the problem of moving state around. Now, I say problem, it's a problem for you because you're a Streams developer. It's like a glorious solution for everybody who uses the API, because that horrible amount of distributed systems engineering that as an application developer, I don't have time for, or maybe expertise for, it has been done for me. So this is super cool. But again, there are problems with, you know, an earlier implementation and a kip that made things more better. Tell us about what the problem was.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, the fascinating and frustrating thing with state is obviously if your source of truth for this state is in the changelog topic in Kafka, that means you need to like rebuild your state on whatever your local instance is for any time you're trying to like actively process something. So it's, you know, it might be something simple like just a count, you know, maybe you're counting the number of times you saw the word the. And so you just store, you know, in your RocksDB, you say, okay, I've seen the word the 5 times. That's my current count. The next time I see it, I'll increment it and move on. The tricky thing there is that, you know, you need to always have completely up-to-date view of this state if you want to actually have, you know, consistency, mm-hmm. Which means that if you...
Right. And this is, if I could say, this is per partition, right? So when we're talking about keys like a count of the word that word is going to have appeared in a partition and that table is going to be associated with the partition, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Kafka Streams shards things according to partition, where each partition is kind of a self-contained, isolated thing. It has its own state stores, you know, corresponds to its own partition in a changelog, for example. And each of these is partitions, or, you know, in the Streams lingo, we sometimes call them tasks, but, you know, consider a task basically equivalent to a partition. That's just kind of the fundamental unit of work in Kafka Streams is what we call a task.
Yes.
So.
Gotcha. So you have your own little universe of state inside a task because you have, it's associated with a partition.
Exactly. We don't care about, you know, any other partition. We just want to know for, you know, for this partition, which includes all the things that start with the letter A or whatever, you know, whatever you're doing. Here's your partition. Here's your task. that's all that matters. So the problem here, you know, the bad old days, is certain events. I think scaling out is like the particularly bad example, although this can happen, you know, at any time. When you scale out, you add a new instance of your Kafka Streams application. You know, presumably you're doing this because there's some increased workload, or, you know, for some there's some reason probably that you're trying to scale out your application. The real bummer there is that when you add this new instance, it obviously doesn't have any copy of the local state. It's completely new, so it doesn't have anything at all. So let's say you assign a partition or a task to this new instance. It really can't do anything until it's replayed the entire changelog and built up its local state store. You know, we have to get it to the point where it remembers that it's seen the word the 5 times or so on, so that the next time it sees the word the, it pumps it up to 6 rather than, you know, seeing
that it's 6 and not 5 again.
Yeah exactly. Or 1 or whatever. And this process of replaying changelog is super long. Like, if you have a lot of state, you know, in the triple digits of gigabytes,
right,
which is not uncommon, it can take hours. Like, users have complained, plenty. Yeah. It's been painful. It's been bad. Restoration is a hard problem. You know, for many users, like, it's probably fast enough for them, but scaling out particular so bad because everything, you have to just replay everything on every task on every partition completely from scratch. So you add this new instance, you're trying to, you know, handle this new load, and now this new instance is just sitting there. It can't actively process, consume its partitions because it's still replaying a state. The other thing is in Kafka Streams, we have...
It's IO bound on the network interface.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, it takes a while to stuff things into RocksDB. Yeah. Or if you have an in-memory store, you know, it's a lot of data. A lot of stuff moves through Kafka. So it's not trivial to rebuild state. And a lot of the time, applications will have what are known as interactive queries, which really just allow you to serve a view of that local state. So let's say you have your application. You just want to know, like, what is the value for the count of the word the at this moment of time. You issue this query to Kafka Streams, and it just queries down through layers to hit the, you know, underlying RocksDB store or whatever your storage is. And it tells you, okay, we've seen this 5 times now. So a lot of applications are built around that.
Just real briefly there, if you don't know what interactive queries are, I've never, like we said, partition assigner before. Naming things isn't always hard. That's a sensible name. Interactive queries I get it. It doesn't quite get at the notion, but if you've got a Kafka Streams topology and at some point you've created a table, like Sophie's been talking about, counting things, aggregating, grouping by words and counting occurrences of words. Well, that word is going to be a key in a table and the value is going to be the current count, right? So you have created an aggregation of some kind. You've made a table and you want to look a thing up in the table by its key. It's a very sensible thing. There's just nothing. You're like, interactive query. What's the, no, you're just, it's like a hash table and you want to get a thing out of it. That's it. It's just that the thing that you want to get may not be where you are. Right. And so there's a layer where, there may be another, you know, if it's in another partition, in another, instance of the Streams application elsewhere in the group, this layer goes and gets it for you. So you have this transparent sort of key lookup hash table thing. You might be going over the network to get it. So it's not trivial. There's a lot of framework there that you are glad that someone who's not you wrote. But the idea is it's a hash table and you're getting it.
Yeah, it should be easy enough to make sure everybody. Although totally. I will say we have not implemented the actual network routing in Kafka Streams. I think it's a feature that would be, you know, heavily requested. I think we have an example that does. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. Okay. But it would be a cool project if anyone is interested in getting their feet wet in a really intense and detailed way. You know, feel free
in that way I have just suggested.
Yeah, feel free to really jump in the deep end there.
Right.
But yeah, fundamentally, at the end of the day, you know, you're issuing queries, you're, you know, doing a lookup against this table, and Kafka Streams will serve whatever data it has for that partition. Of course, in Kafka Streams, we value consistency clearly over availability. So if you bring up a new instance, for example, and you issue a query to it, well, if it's only halfway through replaying the changelog, it just can't respond. It doesn't know, doesn't have the latest up-to-date value for that key or for that word. It has to wait until it's completely restored from the changelog. Otherwise, you might be, getting a query that was days old or, hours old. You might just be kind of bouncing around through time. So for true consistency, we really want to make sure that it's completely up to date, hitting, the head of the changelog, whatever that corresponds to, and when you rebuilt it in RocksDB. That's kind of the other downside to scaling out events and, other partition transfer things in Kafka Streams is that, you're not actually consuming from the input topics and your query serving layer is down. Unless you, want to completely sacrifice consistency, that availability is, it's just down.
While you're scaling. And if you have one of those no-op reassignments, that won't take long because there's not a lot of state to move around. So you just have the much shorter pause during the repartition. But if it is an actual scale-out scenario or a failover scenario or something like that, it's potentially, in terms of SLAs, catastrophic.
Yes, I was going to say devastating, but I think, it gets to the heart.
Yeah,
the
devastating, eviscerating. It's something, some extreme sort of word. So how does this get better?
Again, kind of the problem there is that we've like really been aggressive and eager, once again, in assigning these partitions or these tasks to the new instance. If you think about before you scaled out, what was happening? Well, all these streams instances were completely, obviously caught up on the changelog. They are actively processing, serving queries. Everything is happy. And the problem really is not that you added a new instance. That's totally fair game. The problem is that we immediately reassigned a partition from whatever its current owner who was processing it to this new guy who now has to spend however, minutes or hours replaying state from the changelog for it. So once again, we've been too eager, and it's a process that worked for a while, but eventually, you need to dig down and kind of get into the hard problems. And the time came to address this.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? Well,
As I like to say, when you're talking about the old world, it's not like it was bad or stupid or anything. It was really hard to build that thing. And it was the thing that we were able to build. It's like, your handwriting was kind of messy when you were 8. I mean, mine actually is still sort of borderline, not even really handwriting, but most adults, like when you were a little kid, it was super messy. And then you grow up and it's not as messy anymore. And you weren't bad when you were little. It's just, that's what you did. So this is the development of this framework.
Yeah. I think if you try to do everything perfectly from scratch, your project is just not going to get anywhere. And
never getting anywhere. And you're not smart enough to do it. You literally aren't smart enough to know what those problems are.
Yes, that's the other thing, And sometimes it takes a few users complaining and filing tickets to even realize what those problems were in the first place. And the severity of these problems is not always obvious up front. So, whatever we were doing, it worked. But, we did have this kind of trade-off of availability that for some applications is, it's too much. They can't be down for hours at a time. I think probably any application would prefer not to, although some can handle it. Some, literally just cannot.
Yeah.
So.
Right. You'd rather not.
Yeah. You're not. Personally, I wouldn't want to waste hours of my time, but some people do. No, just kidding. I waste plenty of my own time. So the problem here is we're too eager once again, and the solution, obvious in hindsight, not obvious, in the original design, but obvious in hindsight, is that we just need to not reassign these tasks to the new owners right away. We reassign them to the new owners. The owner suddenly pauses all work on that partition or that task until it's done. Well, instead, why not just leave it assigned to its original owner, who has a totally caught up version of that local state, can serve queries, can process, you know, all that jazz. You know, leave it assigned to its original owner. And then when a new instance joins the group, instead of moving it to that new instance, we just tell the new instance, hey, like, here's these partitions that we want to assign to you. They have a little state. So you're going to need to sit there in the background and read from the changelog, you know, like you're in timeout in middle school or something. You just sit there, read from the changelog, quietly in the background.
I mean, not that I'd know what that was like, but yeah.
So I'm told, yeah. Yeah, and you know, you just warm up the state, as we say. You just sit there and read the state until you are caught up against, or caught up enough, you know, to the head of the changelog.
And because you're reading from a log, that works. Okay, so while you were talking, and this is not contrived, folks. I mean, I knew that this is 440. Terrible with KIP numbers. This is KIP 441. I knew that 441 was a thing and that it helped with Kafka Streams scaling, but I've never thought through the process before. So, as you were talking, I was thinking, okay, so I start with a copy of the state, but then the original one is still modifying the state. And so how am I going to make sure I pick up all those modifications? Well, because it's a log and I don't have to like Merkle tree the whole thing or do some bizarre thing. I just play the log and it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we love logs.
The beautiful thing of Kafka, sometimes it's frustrating, but usually, you know, it comes together in a beautiful way.
Exactly. Because it's built on the right abstractions. And so problems like this, I mean, there's all kinds of hard problems everywhere. You wouldn't have a job if there weren't. We wouldn't have this podcast episode if there weren't. But the solutions to those things become elegant. Because I was literally considering strange data structures in my mind just while you were talking, thinking, how would you build that? And then I thought, oh no, no, you don't need that. You have a list. That's your data structure, Tim. It's a list of things.
Here we are. It's nice when the answer is obvious, even if it makes you feel, you know, silly for not having seen it before.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's how I spend, you know, half my time these days, just finding a problem and then thinking, oh damn, how did I not see that earlier?
That was easy.
But you know, I think a good solution, you know, ultimately is one that is that simple and that makes you, you know, feel foolish for not having seen it earlier. You know, we don't want to solve problems by just adding complexity on complexity on complexity. If you do that, you know, you might end up with an efficient system, but you're going to reach a point where you can't add any new features. You can't, you know, do anything. You're just introducing bugs. So we always go for the simplest solution. And in this case, you know, it's one that just kind of falls naturally out of Kafka Streams. We warm up from the changelog.
No, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So then, you know, once again, kind of, there's a lot of analogs between this and the cooperative rebalancing KIP 429. Once again, you know, we have the situation where like we're kind of doing something in the background. In the cooperative rebalancing, it was revoking the partition. In this case, we're reading from the changelog, trying to warm up this state store, trying to get, you know, close enough to the head. But of course that means that, you know, we haven't yet assigned anything to this new instance. So it's catching up fast, we hope, but it's not actually, you know, doing any work yet. So what do we do in this case? Well, again,
right. And work is still being done by the previous.
Yes. Someone else. Yeah. So, so everything is like still live.
Yeah.
It's available. We haven't like finished the scaling out event because we haven't redistributed the load to the new guy yet. You know, he's going through his initiation. He doesn't yet get his topic. So luckily we had KIP 429, you know, before this, which made rebalances cheap and low overhead because we can continue to process during these rebalances. So, you know, again, the question comes up, well, maybe we can just trade off a second rebalance to kind of solve this problem. So we do this, you know, in a slightly different way in KIP 441, as in KIP 429. In KIP 429, we rebalance immediately after the first rebalance. That is, the second rebalance, you know, comes immediately after so that these partitions which are revoked can be reassigned right away. With KIP 441, you know, we might have like a large group of new instances, which are all trying to catch up, you know, on different numbers of tasks, different levels of state, which could all like reach their caught up state at any point. So we don't want to necessarily have a rebalance for every single one that catches up. And instead we issue what's called a probing rebalance, where every, I think it's 10 minutes by default, we trigger a rebalance and we check to see if this new instance or instances are caught up. And by how do we measure caught up? It's kind of a vague term. I feel like we should have picked a better name there, but can't think of any. If you have any that come to mind,
InSync was already taken, so
right. Yeah. So unfortunately, all the good names end up being overloaded. We try to avoid confusion rather than just piling on the same few terms in general. Not always.
Exactly.
But yeah, we need to figure out like is this instance caught up, and that's kind of not a trivial answer in a way, but it's not hard either. What is this task doing? What does this partition need to do? It's just reading from the changelog. It's done when it's caught up enough to the changelog. So, the measure that we can use of how caught up it is just what is the total lag for this task across all of the changelog partitions that are associated with this task. So, we read what is the current offset into the changelog that this instance has in its local state, subtract that from the log end offset for the changelog, add all that up if you have multiple changelogs, if you have multiple stores per task, and that's basically how much this instance needs to catch up in order to be considered totally in sync for this task.
Is that within some absolute threshold number of offsets or percentage or?
Yeah, we have a number of offsets. Kind of as you were hinting at earlier, since this is actively being processed by someone else in the background, you're never really going to be perfectly caught up. At least if you are, you're not going to be caught up for long because this other guy is, actively writing new things to the changelog. So there's a config, I think it's called the acceptable recovery lag, which is just in terms of number of records, the number of changelog offsets that you need to be able to catch up. So by default, this is set to 10,000, which seems like super huge, but in our own benchmarks, we found that it takes just a few seconds for Kafka streams to catch up.
Okay, that does sound like more than I'd expect. I'd expect a few tens, but
one of my teammates proposed that, and I thought perhaps it was a typo, and he had added an extra zero, but he should be marks to back it up.
You're right. You're obviously not good at this.
Yeah. So this is why we have this is why we work together.
Exactly.
Which just goes to show, if we can do 10,000 records in a few seconds, it's there's a crazy number of records that it must have been processing before that if it was taking hours to rebuild. Just kind of gives you some sense of the full, scale of what goes through Kafka.
It's the scale of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to really wrap your head around and think about how many records we're dealing with and imagine, how quickly this is possibly going. But, it turns out pretty quickly. But when you have a huge, when you're getting up into the whatever it is, billion, whatever, numbers of records, things can take a while.
It is a system capable of size, capable of scale. Yeah.
And if it's not enough, then you scale out. And luckily now, that should not be a totally painful event.
That's easier. Exactly. Well, my guest today has been Sophie Blee Goldman. Sophie, thank you very much for being a part of Streaming Audio.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's gonna be good.
Hey, you know what you get for listening to the end? Some free Confluent Cloud. Use the promo code 60PDCAST, that's 60PDCAST, to get an additional $60 of free Confluent Cloud usage. Be sure to activate it by December 31st, 2021, and use it within 90 days after activation. Any unused promo value after the expiration date is forfeit. And there are a limited number of codes available, so don't miss out. Anyway, as always, I hope this podcast was useful to you. If you want to discuss it or ask a question, you can always reach out to me on Twitter at TL Berglund. That's TLBERGLUND. Or you can leave a comment on a YouTube video or reach out on Community Slack or on the community forum. There are sign-up links for those things in the show notes if you'd like to sign up. And while you're at it, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and to this podcast wherever fine podcasts are sold. And if you subscribe through Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review there. That helps other people discover it, especially if it's a 5-star review. And we think that's a good thing. So thanks for your support, and we'll see you next time.